Grace to you and peace in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We've passed a few dates on the calendar, right? Reformation and All Hallowed Eve, spoken in the ancient English language, Halloween, spoken in very modern English, All Saints' Day Eve. That's all behind us. Even All Saints' Day is behind us. We're coming down to the end of the church year. The truth is, all that's left in the church year after today is Thanksgiving, which is, although a very Christian holiday, not an official holiday of the Holy Christian Church. It's really an American holiday. And then one more Sunday, which is called the last Sunday of the church year, and then we start into the season of Advent. It's then we start to remember those important things about, actually, we start the whole festival season of the church year, that festival season that runs from Advent all the way through to about a month past Easter. And that'll be a fun time, right? I mean, especially Christmas, but we're not there yet. As we get closer to the end of the church year, the readings, and there are a set of readings that are assigned to each Sunday, and the vast majority of the time I tend to follow those, they begin to focus on things like the end of our life and the end of this creation. Now, like it or not, this world has its troubles. Sin affects everything we do. Sin can even cause a pastor to forget the chancel choir singing right after the epistle. It can happen. It'll get you. Sometimes little things, sometimes big things. And as much as we would often like to escape those troubles and get to the wonder that God has promised us, it is God's timing and God's plans that are what we have to wait for. And so we wait. We wait in this sinful, sin-filled world. We are faithfully waiting for that day when Jesus will return with the armies of heaven. He will come for that final battle, the final war between heaven and hell, waged and fought over us. Are we that important? Now, the movies, they kind of make it look like this might be something horrible to endure. The movies make the Battle of Armageddon something to dread for all the people left alive on the earth. The movies even suggest that heaven might lose. The movies get the Bible wrong a lot. When that final battle comes, there will be no doubt who will win. There is no chance that Jesus might not take the field of battle or win the battle. There's not going to be some last-minute trick that Satan pulls out of his hat to defeat the Holy Christ of God. That is an undeniable fact. It is a fact that cannot be refuted. It cannot be, because the battle, the ultimate battle for your souls and your life, your eternal life, has already been won. In fact, two battles have already been fought and won. Twice Christ was victorious. The first was way back at the beginning. Lucifer thought he could usurp the throne of Almighty God. Strangely enough, it's talked about in the last book in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 12, it says a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels had to fight a war with the serpent. The serpent and its angels fought, but it was not strong enough, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge serpent was thrown down, that ancient snake named Devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, was thrown down to earth. Its angels were thrown down with it. Think about when that's happening. While Adam and Eve are carelessly caring for the beautiful Garden of Eden, living among the animals and with each other and with God, in a perfect relationship of bliss and peace. A nightmare is going on over their heads. God's perfection was challenged by one whose arrogance led him to think he could actually push God out of the way and take for himself the worship that is due only God. While butterflies landed on Eve's nose and Adam collected fruits and vegetables to eat for lunch, a battle the likes of which this earth will never see was being waged above them. While birds sang Adam and Eve to sleep, rulers and authorities, the powers who govern the world of darkness and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly places, engaged in a battle for creation itself. The contrast between evil and Eden is striking. In that great and epic clash of powers that we humans cannot, could not imagine, Satan lost and he was thrown down. What is the first thing Satan did after losing that battle? He made a beeline to Eden. If he could not defeat God in heaven, he would hit God where it hurt most. Satan would attack Adam and Eve, God's own children. And that's just what he did. His attack was sly and it was sneaky. He convinced them to sin, and in doing so, tore them away from God forever. Eternally separated from God. Lost forever. Lost forever from that bliss and that comfort they enjoyed under God's protection. You can bet Satan laughed a sinister snicker of sarcasm as he tried to slink away. But God will not be fooled. God arrived in the garden and he dealt with Adam and Eve first. The first lesson is to teach them what disobedience had brought them. God knew where they were. God knows everything. He didn't need to ask for himself. He needed to ask a question so they understood what kind of mess they were now really in. He asks, "Adam, where are you?" Adam, who had been hiding, realizes for the very first time that he is lost to God. He came out of his hiding place and he proceeds to blame God and Eve for what happened. Eve follows his example and blames God and Satan for what happened. Sadly, neither one of them thought to apologize. Neither of them thought to repent. Then God turns to Satan. God did not ask him any questions. He simply pronounced judgment. His words were clear. Another battle is coming. This time, the battle would not be for heaven, but rather for the very souls of the children of God. And God also stated what the outcome of that battle was going to be. He said, "I will make you, Satan, and the woman hostile toward each other. I will make your descendants and her descendant hostile toward each other." And he, that descendant, that one, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. You see, in the middle of all the wrath and the rage that God was dumping out on Adam and Eve, Satan was still smiling. You can bet he had a sarcastic smirk on his face that he couldn't hide, because he thought he had won. And in a sense he had. He had torn all of us away from God. You see, he knew sin was permanent. Once sinful, always sinful. No matter what God did, no matter what curses he commanded, Satan had destroyed God's perfect creation. Satan, however, did not fully grasp the love of God. He did not understand that we, the children of God, are even more precious than his only begotten Son's very life. God would not, he could not endure being separated from his children forever. So in the middle of all the wrath that Adam and Eve are hearing, God spoke a promise. A promise that one would come. That one would settle accounts with Satan once and for all. He, that one, would crush Satan's head, and Satan's defeat would be put on display for all the world to see. When that battle came, Satan's failure would be made fully complete. That one has come. That battle has been fought. That one is called the Holy Christ of God, the Messiah. Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus. Satan went after him from the moment of his birth. All those children in Bethlehem were killed as a result of Satan trying to get to him. Satan never stopped attacking the Christ, because the Christ was the only hope of freedom for us, God's children. He went after Jesus with everything he had. And I don't know if he saw it coming or not. He thought he was winning. He had Jesus put on trial on trumped up charges. He was winning. He had Jesus beaten and whipped. Satan was winning. He even had Jesus nailed to posts and hung up on a hill on display for all the world to see. But then that sarcastic smirk left his face. Wait a minute. No, 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 that can't be. Stop him. Stop him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him now. Make him stop. Through man's mockery and hell's high shouts of triumph, Jesus, in exhaustion, barely above a whisper, speaks while hanging there on display for all the world to see. It is finished. If thunder didn't clap across the heavens when those words were uttered, maybe it should have. Because in that moment, man was made humble and hell was made silent. There on that cross hung Satan's humiliating eternal defeat. There on display for all the world to see. Through that sacrifice, you were made holy again. Through the blood and death of God's only Son, you are made a child of God again. Now another battle will be waged. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures read, at that time Michael, the great commander, this is the archangel Michael, who stands on behalf of the descendants of your people, will rise. It will be a time of trouble unlike any that has existed from the time there have been nations until that time. At that time your people, everyone written in the book, will be rescued. Many sleeping in the ground will wake up. Some will wake to live forever, but others will wake up to be ashamed and disgraced forever. A time is still coming. Right now, we don't fully enjoy that perfect relationship God has established with us through Jesus Christ. That's because sin is permanent. There's only one cure for sin, and that's death. In death, through faith, we realize the full salvation God has promised us. The day will come when Jesus will give the command, and the great generals of the angelic armies, generals like the archangel Michael, will descend upon the earth for battle one last time. But in that battle, there is no doubt of the conclusion. Scripture says those whose names are written in the book will be rescued. So you got to ask, what book? And maybe a more important question you might ask is, my name in that book? Because we would want to be rescued. The Bible reads, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. That's how you'll be judged. Every sinful act you have ever committed is in the books. Every sinful thought, every sinful deed, it's all written there and read out loud for all the world to see. Here's where a little Hebrew can be a little helpful. The word Satan is really, in English, the accuser or the prosecutor. It's sort of a legal term. The accuser will be there to accuse you before God of all you have done. He will be there as a prosecutor to convict you of your sin. Any sin, it only takes one. And hell is your home. But you will not stand alone. You have a Redeemer. Those books are your record, but your sins are blotted out. They're covered over. They're hidden forever by the blood of Jesus, the Holy Christ of God Himself. And for those faithful, written in the book of life is your name. You are declared holy and perfect and a child of God, and no evidence can be brought against you. Satan's failure is complete, there on display for all the world to see as God Himself pronounces judgment. Welcome home. You see, the battle has already been won. There are only two things that can keep anyone out of heaven: their unrepentance and unbelief. If you sin and say to God, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do what I want, that's unrepentance. If that sin remains on you, you will be barred from the gates of heaven. If you say God is a joke and I don't believe in Him or His tales of salvation, that's unbelief. And with that, your sin remains on you and you will be barred from the gates of heaven. The battle's already been fought for you. How is that battle won? Believe and be baptized, and you will be saved. Come to the holy table and receive the sacrament of the altar, Jesus' very body and blood, for your forgiveness and salvation. When you sin, apologize and make strides to change. There are the great battles right before us. Epic battles were fought above Adam and Eve so very long ago. Epic battles for the souls of us all. That war in heaven was fought for you. Powers that we can't imagine clash all about us. They're at war here, right now, in this room. What can we contribute? Nothing. You couldn't. You wouldn't have the power to contribute anything, even if you wanted to. God requires from you only this: apologize from your heart when you sin, and have a true desire to change and trust Him. And then as Christians, proudly wear His name upon you for all the world to see. Do that in Jesus' name. Amen.